Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is www.dccsa, that's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha, .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press in mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Echad, not Yakid, Echad, meaning a compound one. Echad, not an absolute singular one. God of necessity. And he did tell us over 3,000 times in the Old Testament of his essential unity and diversity. For God is love. Echad, not Yakid. Echad. And his desire is that we too might be Echad, one. One with him, one with the Father, and one with one another by that one same Spirit that made Messiah Echad with God the Father. Hallelujah. Yes, by that one same Spirit of truth and holiness, one. By that one same Spirit. Echad, not Yakid. Echad. And his desire is that we too might be Echad, one. What a revelation it is to understand perhaps the best, most explicit revelation of the Shema, the watchword of the faith of Israel, the faith of Abraham, was given as the Messiah, was in agony preparing to be sacrificed as the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Behold the Lamb of God. I hope we'll be able to get into how that the Lord's Prayer is the best and most profound, explicit, and full explanation of the Shema. I want to have a few songs, and then I want to briefly talk about the Sabbath, because it is on the Sabbath that I seem to get most of the revelations that I receive from the Lord. And Christianity is a revealed faith. God must reveal it to us. And it's the revelations that we receive from God, that we know we have received by His Spirit, that'll keep us standing in the faith. But after a couple songs, I want to briefly explain what the Sabbath is about, and then I hope, Lord willing, to expound and go into how that indeed the Lord's Prayer, that the Messiah prayed in agony so deep he was sweating blood as he prepared himself to be offered as the Lamb of God for the sin of sinners. In such agony, how he was praying for us and just what he was praying. What an awesome King. What a great God and awesome King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Echad. Hallelujah. Echad. Israel, you born again once. After we have a little bit of a discussion of the Sabbath, I hope to share with you a revelation of how that the Lord's Prayer is probably the most profound exposition of the real meaning of the Shema, the watchword of the faith of Israel, the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The only true faith in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah. As he was in agony, sweating blood, he prayed the most profound connection and the real heart of what the Shema is supposed to be all about. But first, a little bit about the Sabbath.
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. One thing that is so simple and has such great blessings and such incredible resistance is the fourth commandment. Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Is the Sabbath Saturday or Sunday? Simple question. And on the website, there's three topics. There's an audio message by Richard Reeves. And I'm going to give you an introduction to the Sabbath. Why is the Sabbath so important now? Why would Jesus tell his faithful to pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, in Matthew 24:20? Because the Sabbath is to be kept by believers during the tribulation. It's not that keeping of the Sabbath is being reinstituted. It never went away. It just took us Gentiles almost 1,700 years to open our eyes to such great deception. The law does not save anyone. I'm going to say it again. The law does not save anyone. However, the way that any redeemed or saved person is able to prove it to himself is that Yeshua gives the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth and holiness, to keep and do God's commands of his royal law, not just the power to pontificate. It really is so simple. John 14:15. If you love me, what? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 2:3. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. And 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And 1 John 2:5. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Anytime we see that word law in the scripture, we better know which of the four possible types of law mentioned in the scripture that we're talking about. Whenever anyone mentions law, be sure to ask them what law they're talking about. And we should get in the habit of, when we're reading the scripture, to ask the Holy Spirit every time we see that law, which of the four types of law is being spoken of. First of all, man's law, don't worry about it. Keep God's royal law, and you'll live at a higher standard than any of the laws of man. Man's law, or the oral law, or the extra-biblical additions of men, the laws in the oral law that were added by religious people, those extra-biblical oral traditions of men and commandments and doctrines of men, that oral law is the law that got nailed to the cross of Messiah. There are four basic kinds of law. The law of sin and death, the royal law, which is a New Testament term, that the king wrote with his finger in stone and writes with his Holy Spirit on a circumcised, born-again heart, the law of Moses, 613 commandments, and the oral law, the additions and traditions and doctrines of men. That oral law is what got nailed to the cross of Messiah, the law of sin and death. Now, this is the law that the blood of Jesus saves us from. The curse of the law of sin and death is death. The law of sin and death is the law from which the blood of Yeshua saves us. And there's no other way to be saved from the curse of the law of sin and death. What is the law of sin and death? Very simple. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. Ezekiel 18 and Romans 6:23. Now, the law of Moses. It has 613 commandments, laws, ordinances, mitzvot. Even to this day, 613 laws. Many of these, like circumcision and the Levitical priesthood, are done away in the New Covenant through the better priesthood of our great high priest, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. And then there is the royal law. The royal law. Yeah, that's a New Testament term, by the way. The Ten Commandments. Yes, that's the royal law. Jesus wrote it with his finger in stone. Yes, it still includes the fourth commandment. It's a slap in God's face to call the sun god day the Lord's day. If we don't keep all ten of his commandments in the tribulation, we will not likely be one of those who is able to endure to the end of the great tribulation. If we don't love and delight in God's Sabbath, we're in trouble and don't even know it. It's unrighteousness by definition. And that's why Jesus said to pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath. The time context of this neglected instruction of the Lord is the time of great tribulation. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, 2 Timothy 3:1. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many, yet they shall fall by the sword, by the flame, by captivity, and by spoil many days. That's Daniel 11:32 and 33. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. That's Revelation 7:13-17. The Lord's Day tradition of the Pope and the apostate Roman Church can be traced back nearly 1,700 years to the pagan sun god day. And now we must be aware that we will bear responsibility for this pollution of God's holy Sabbath. If you are with me to this point, now you've heard some truth about the Sabbath, as stated by the Word of God. Do you believe the truth? Jesus, Yeshua, often offended people with the truth. He always greatly and directly offended religious leaders. Does the truth Yeshua gave us about the time of his return and the rapture offend you? Jesus said in Matthew 24:29-31, immediately after, did you hear that? Immediately after the tribulation of those days is when he would send his angels to gather his elect. Immediately after the tribulation. Yeshua often offended those with religious spirits by saying things like, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Can you see that the Word of God clearly, 137 times in 116 verses from Genesis through Revelation, requires our keeping of God's Sabbath? And if you cannot, is it due to a religious spirit, deception, pride, ignorance, or willing ignorance that you're blind to such truth? Whether or not man thinks the Sabbath day is important does not matter. God's Sabbath day is important to God. Man now must not continue to keep his eyes closed to the importance God places on his Sabbath. By failing to keep the Sabbath, we are, number one, ignoring a commandment of God, two, breaching our everlasting covenant to God, and three, ignoring the only sign requested by God to show him that we know him to be our God. And hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. And again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. That's 1 John 2, verses 3 through 8. And what is the old commandment which we had from the beginning? What is the word heard from the beginning? Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus 20, verse 8. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's Exodus 20, verse 11. Know that the war on the saints is against those which keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus Christ. And these will be the dead which die in the Lord, according to Revelation 14, 12, and 13. We are not given the choice to keep some or most or all but one of the commandments. Believe the word of God. In great tribulation, we must keep the Sabbath commandment to die in Christ. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11. I pray the Holy Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness and truth, will open your eyes and ears to this passage that is very important in these last days. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 16. I pray God gives you ears to hear. This is the word of God. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away. Now the Greek word is apostasia, meaning apostasy, a falling away from the truth. Except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, 1-17. In this passage in 2 Thessalonians, notice verse 3 warns us not to let any man deceive us. We are now witnesses to the great deception of the Pope and Lucifer and the Roman apostate church, the New World Order, and the global ethic. All Rome's pagan sun god rituals must continue the keeping of Sun God Day as the Lord's Day. And we see the Pope asserting the authority of the apostate Roman Church over the Word of God in place of keeping holy the Sabbath as commanded by God. The deception is now clearly revealed by the Word of God. Will anyone care? Or will this rebellious generation continue to reject the Scripture telling the truth about God's fourth commandment? Remember to keep holy the Sabbath day. Remember, the Sabbath is a sign forever that we know God is our God, and that God is the one who sanctifies us. Throughout the Old Testament, there are many lessons regarding the consequences arising from disobedience against God. Look at the entire history between the children of Israel and God as recorded in the Old Testament. The Word of God gives saints very specific instructions for these last days. And in Hebrews 4:5 promises that God will speak from heaven again to those that will enter into his Sabbath rest. Verse 3 continues and tells us that the day of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, like in verse 1, shall not come until there be a falling away, a great apostasy first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. God is God, brethren. That's so simple and that's so profound. God is God. He has the sovereign right to make his commandments regardless of if we like it or whether we think it's important or not. When God commands, those who know, love, and fear him simply obey. That's what faith is. To be determined to do what God said just because God said so. God made the fourth commandment, and God did not change it. God does not change. Yeshua Messiah the same yesterday, today, and forever. God sanctified the Sabbath day, and God made it holy. If someone opposes something made holy by God, is that opposing God? Could be. If the Pope, or an apostate church, or Lucifer, or any man replaces God's holy Sabbath with a sun god day, Lord's Day, and then calls the Lord's Day holy and teaches people to follow the substitution, that person exalts himself above God. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, but it's true. They may honor Lucifer, the sun god, the Pope, or their own rationalizations and bogus theology. The truth is that God is not honored by calling the sun god's day the Lord's Day. We're about to witness the great God contest of all time, and we will all soon see what the Lord's Day is all about. Lucifer, the sun god, and his Roman Pope will not prevail in the Lord's Day. Now is the time for those who do know their God to have and keep the sign and seal of the true God. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We know that it is righteous to keep all of God's commandments, and it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God as he hath commanded us, Deuteronomy 6:25. A person not keeping God's holy Sabbath fails to do all these commandments, and is unrighteous by definition, by that definition of Deuteronomy 6:25, that person is unrighteous. Recall this warning given to us by Jesus. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Angels to gather his elect immediately after the tribulation. Yeshua often offended those with religious spirits by saying things like, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Can you see that the word of God clearly, 137 times in 116 verses from Genesis through Revelation, requires our keeping of God's Sabbath? And if you cannot, is it due to a religious spirit, deception, pride? It will be revealed that wicked Antichrist, whom the word of God shall consume, and for that most will perish, because they do not love the truth, and have in them all deceivableness of unrighteousness. And five, that God, righteousness, and five, that God shall send the many that perish, strong delusion, that they should, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It is within this context, it is that includes in verse 15, therefore, brethren, stand fast, and hold the traditions which you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle, 2 Thessalonians 2:15. But the practice and tradition of the apostles at the time of the writing of the entire New Testament, it was keeping God's Sabbath. And there is not one verse in the practice and tradition of the apostles at the time of the writing of the entire New Testament, it was keeping God's Sabbath. And there is not one verse in the entire New Testament that tells us otherwise. Not one verse in the whole Bible, for that matter. The Sunday tradition of the sun god Lucifer, the Pope, sun god worshiping pagans, came into the church later, after the writing of the New Testament, the obedience even before the commandments were given. Will we receive the gift that he commanded? It's really a gift. And he commanded. Will we receive the gift that he commanded us to remember to keep holy? Or will we fail this simplest test of obedience? If we go against the covenant, we will miss out on the strength and empowerment to do exploits that God gives to those who keep his covenant. If God would have told us to dig a 50-foot ditch on Sabbath, the dirt would be flying everywhere on Saturday. However, he commanded us to rest and fellowship with him. How else would anything be kept holy unless the Holy One of Israel, the Holy God comes into it? That's how things are made holy. God wants to visit with you on the day that he chooses, and no one seems to hear and want to open the door where he's knocking every Friday evening when the sun goes down. Thus saith the Lord, I will also choose their delusions, and I will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spake, they did not hear. But they did evil before mine eyes. They chose that in which I, Almighty God, delighted not. Isaiah 66:5. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4. He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. John 8:47. That's serious. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Therefore, they, the wicked, say unto God, depart from us, for we desire not the knowledge of thy ways. What is the Almighty that we, the wicked, should serve him? And what profit should we have if we pray unto him? That's what the wicked say, according to Job 21:14-15. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. The law of Moses, given to the Jews, even to this day, has 613 commandments, ordinances, laws, or mitzvot. The law that God wrote with his finger in stone for Moses has 10 commandments. It's the everlasting covenant. It's the royal law of God. God's people are known by their faithfulness to keep and do all 10 commands of God, which are simple instructions in love. 4, how to love God. 6, how to love our neighbor in reality and truth. Jesus reduced those 10 to 2 and then further reduced them to 1. That one commandment is love. The 2 are love God with all your being and love your neighbor as yourself. The first 4 of the 10 teaches how to love God, and the last 6 of the 10 teaches how to love our neighbor. Like Paul said in Romans 3:31, do we then make void the law through faith? Is that the kind of faith we have? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Jesus said that in Matthew 13:14-16. And what if your church refuses to recognize and teach keeping holy the Sabbath day as required in the fourth commandment of God? And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues, for her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Revelation 18:4-5. There are certain rules and principles which change in a state of war. We are now coming into the time of the Antichrist war on the saints known as the Great Tribulation. In this time, saints will be known by their love for one another. Love is what the Ten Commandments are all about. The feigned affection of apostate churchianity is not love. It is often false, feigned, and hypocritical. Love is about keeping God's commandments. The first 4 teaches how to love God, and the remaining 6. How to love our neighbor in reality and truth. Keep his covenant, to be strong and do exploits. And the exploits that Daniel talked about are the same greater works that Jesus talked about in John 14:12. The last word on the Sabbath is Colossians 2:16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of new moon or of Sabbaths. No man can judge me. I don't judge anybody. If they want to miss the blessing, I'm going to let them miss the blessing. But anybody that judges me wrong for keeping the commandment that God gave as God gave it, they're judging me unrighteously if they try and judge me. And they can't, because I do it the way God said. No Sabbath cops. That's basically what Colossians 2:16 says. No Sabbath cops. No Sabbath sheriffs. Let no man judge you regarding how you observe and keep holy the Sabbath. Just make sure you don't call the sun god day the Lord's day. Keep holy the Sabbath that God commanded. Don't judge others either. How anyone observes the Sabbath is between that person and God. And by the way, for those who think that Romans 14 justifies breaking the fourth commandment, what is the context of Romans 14? Is it about the Sabbath? Absolutely not. Not one word in that chapter is related in any way to the Sabbath. That entire chapter is about fasting and fast days. Which day should we regard for fasting? Romans 14 in context has absolutely nothing to do with the Sabbath, and it's ridiculous how some people who claim to have some knowledge of the Word of God would ever say the Romans 14 chapter has anything to do with the Sabbath. It is totally about fasting and fast days and food, and has absolutely nothing to do with God's fourth commandment. Now, here are the 6 simple instructions that you can find in the Bible about how to observe the Sabbath. 1, rest from work. 2, don't require others to work. 3, stay home or short travel. 4, no shopping. No buying or selling, and don't kindle fires. Now, this should be obvious in its New Testament context that the tongue is a fire. Do whatever you can. Go the extra mile. It takes two for strife to be maintained. Either one of the two can stop it by not kindling fires of strife on the Sabbath. Go the extra mile not to strive on the Sabbath. Today we should understand the don't kindle fires to mean exercising extra effort not to kindle fires of strife. Meekness, meekness, meekness. Do you understand meekness? It's the ability to endure insult without retaliation. Seek meekness. It may be that you'll be hid in the day of the Lord's wrath. Meekness. The tongue kindles fires of strife, which disturbs the peace of the Sabbath. James 3, 5, and 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member that boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Brethren, these simple things, these six simple things will keep the Sabbath a delight. Rest from work, don't require others to work, stay home or short travel, no shopping, no buying or selling, and don't kindle fires. Now, don't be a Sabbath cop. Jesus never had anything good to say to the Sabbath sheriffs. How you observe the Sabbath is between you and the Lord. Don't you get into the Sabbath cop business. That's a bad future if you do. You do it the way God said. And the Sabbath is to be worked out between you and the Lord. Can you have enough faith to believe that the Lord of Sabbath, the King of Glory, knocks on your door when it gets dark Friday night because he wants to come in, he wants to sup with you, he wants to have fellowship with you, he just wants to hang out with you for 24 hours and make that day holy by his holy presence? Can you have enough faith to receive the blessing? Because I tell you, in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength, and that's why people who do not keep that fourth commandment, who do not absorb it and continue to mock God with their religious foolishness, which goes against everything that's written about the Sabbath, I don't know how they're going to endure to the end of Great Tribulation. But I'm not going to be a Sabbath cop. You want to miss a blessing? Go ahead and miss a blessing. I just don't know how you're going to make it if you continue to keep the Lord out when he knocks on your door every Sabbath day. The Lord of Sabbath wants to come in and make the day holy by his holy presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Shema.
Hallelujah. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. One. Echad is the word. You heard it sung Echad. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Echad. Not Yakid. Echad. It's very important that we understand the word in that profession of the faith of Abraham, the profession of the faith of Israel, the profession of the faith of the people who have been born again to become Israel, born again by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's so important that we understand that profession of the faith has the word Echad. Echad, not Yakid, Echad. So important. And I think it's wonderful how on the Sabbath, where the Torah portion is Tetzaveh, you shall command, which has that vital instruction regarding the oblation, that the understanding of how the Lord so perfectly and wonderfully expounded the meaning of the Shema to us. I hope I can express what the revelation was. And I'm going to try. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5 is the Shema because it begins with the word Shema. And the word Shema means hear. Hear, O Israel. If we're born again, we need to have ears to hear this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord. This is the brief summary of the faith, not just any faith, the only faith which is true faith, the only faith in the one true God. It contains the first principles of faith and obedience, which really you cannot separate faith and obedience. Yahweh, our God, Yehovah, the God of Israel, is the only living and true God. He only is God, and He is but one God. And we should desire to have no other God than the true God. But the word for one is Echad, not Yakid. It is Echad, a compound unity. God must have both unity and diversity to be love. He could be just and be an absolute one, but he could not be love unless there were other beings as equal to interact with. The threefold mention of the divine names and the plural number of the word that is translated God, Elohim, not El, not Eloah, Elohim, plainly show us the Trinity of the Godhead, the three persons of the Godhead. Even in this express declaration of the unity of the Godhead, and if anyone is going to be happy, it would be those who have this one Lord for their God. And it's better to have one fountain than a thousand cisterns. One all-sufficient God. It's better to have one all-sufficient God than a thousand insufficient friends. And this is indeed the first and great commandment of God's law. God is God. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who taught the Torah to Moses. It was the Lord Jesus Christ who said, when Moses asked, who should I say sent me unto you? Tell him, I am that I am. Tell him, I am hath sent thee. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who was in that pillar of fire by day and pillar of fire by night. And He alone is God, and He is Echad with the Father by that one same Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of God. He is Echad with the Father by that one same Spirit. Now, as I look with you at the Lord's Prayer, which is in John 17. The Lord taught us to pray the Our Father, but that's not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in John 17, and it's so important for us to remember that the Messiah was in agony. The Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, who took flesh upon Himself to become the Lamb of God, was in agony preparing for what he would face in the next 24 hours, death by torture on a Roman cross. And he was in agony as he was preparing for this death by torture on a Roman cross. And what do we find him doing? He is praying to his Father, who is God, and the Son is God. And he's praying to the Father for us. And the word one that he uses, we must understand, is not Yakid, it is Echad. And it's such a profound understanding of how this explains the Shema, that we might be one with the Father, one with the Son, by that one same Spirit, and be one with one another by that one same Spirit. It's an awesome revelation. It's a revelation that every Jew needs to have. And it's a revelation that we should look for opportunity to share with the Jews who will one day soon have the veil removed and will know that we are their brethren, Ephraimites. Hallelujah. Remember now that the Lord was in such agony that he was indeed literally sweating blood, in such agony of soul that he was literally sweating great drops of blood. And in the midst of that agony, he's praying. And what an example he gave to us is when we are in the greatest of trials, and none of us will ever endure any trial so great as to cause us to literally sweat great drops of blood. But look what he does. He prays for us, for sure. He prayed to God, who is his Father, and only he could give that revelation. But it is so awesome just to think about someone being in such agony as to cause them to literally sweat blood and praying for us. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. It was for this purpose that he took flesh upon himself. The Father sent the Son. It was the will of the Father to send the Son to be the Lamb of God, the necessary propitiation, the necessary payment. Had the princes of this world known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. He was going to make the necessary sacrifice when he who knew no sin was going to take that curse of the law of sin and death upon himself. It was the greatest violation of the law of sin and death imaginable, that the one who knew no sin, who was God the Son, the very Creator as well as the Redeemer, when he took that curse of the law of sin and death upon himself, God at that point was free to consign Satan and all of Satan's followers to an eternal lake of fire known as hell that was created for the devil and his angels, and to grant mercy to a sinner even like me and a sinner like you. And nobody can say anything about it. He maintained his perfection in judgment and justice and righteousness because Satan got the princes of this world, the designated high priests, to crucify the Lord of glory. And as he is thinking about what he must endure, for it was the purpose for which the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, he's praying, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. He was always with the Father. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and in him was life. He is the life. And he says, "And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world." Only the Lord Jesus Christ, only Yeshua the Messiah, could manifest the most privileged name of God. Only the Son could call God his Father. Only the Son could manifest that most privileged name by which anyone could possibly refer to God as his Father. "I have manifested thy name, Father." He alone could call God Father, and he manifested that most privileged name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. We need to understand, God picked us, we didn't pick him. If you have understood this privilege to call God your Father, you came by that, by a revelation from God, because he picked you first. "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And they have kept thy word." And see, this is how we know. This is how we prove it to ourselves that we're saved. "If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments." "I have manifested thy name, Father." What a privilege. "Unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words." Words are so important. "The words that I speak," Jesus said, "they are spirit and they are life." And this is why we should never allow anyone to trifle with this God-promised, perfect, more sure word of the KJV, the King Jesus Version. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me." He never spoke his own words. He spoke the words which he was given by the Father to speak to us. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me." I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Oh no, he doesn't pray for the world that rejects such love beyond understanding. No, he prays for those who receive the truth of the words which he was given by the Father to speak. He prays for us, who deserve to go to hell, and we know we deserve to go to hell, but we are going to receive mercy because he's praying for us. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. All mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. He knew where he was headed. He was headed back to take his seat at the Father's right hand, where he sits on the highest throne, far above all principalities, powers, thrones, and dominions, where he had such highest glory before the world was, before even the angels were created. He is the only begotten Son. "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world." You and I are in the world. And he is at the Father's right hand interceding for us. "And I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me." The family of God, Israel. "Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one at God." That they may be one. Do you hear the prayer of God the Son to God the Father? That they may be one as we are. This is the prayer of God the Son, who was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. This Lamb of God, slain for the sin of sinners, is praying to God, his Father, that we may be one with the Father, that we may be one with the Son, as the Son was one, echad, with the Father by that one same Spirit. and that we might be one with one another, echad, one with one another by that one same Spirit, one with the Father, one with the Son, and by that same Spirit, one, echad, with one another. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. He came in the name of the Father. He didn't come in his own name. Everything he did was to glorify the Father. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. In his presence is fullness of joy, and that's really what the Sabbath is all about. He wants to be with us. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. His joy was to do the will of the Father. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world. No pre-trib rapture, no. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth, this more sure word of God, which is absolute pure truth, will sanctify us. If we will turn as it reproves us, as it is given life by the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of God, the Ruach HaKodesh. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. He said, I am the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And just as the Father sent the Son into the world, the Son sends us in his name, in the Father's name, by that one same Spirit, to be witnesses of God, the Father, and the Son, by the Holy Spirit. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The truth is the Word of God. Jesus, Yeshua, whose name is called the Word of God, the I Am, who taught the Torah to Moses. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The Word of God is the truth and the means by which we may prove what the truth is. Otherwise, truth is just received or rejected. But we can prove the truth by this more sure word, this perfect word of God, purified seven times by the Spirit of truth and holiness. We can prove what the truth is by this more sure word. And we are sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, echad, that we might be echad, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, that they all may be echad. Echad, one with the Father. Echad, one with the Son. By that echad, one same Spirit of God. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of truth and holiness. Just as the Father art in the Son, and the Son in the Father, that they, that is, we also may be one echad in God, in Christ, by that one same Spirit. That the world may believe, that is why, that by the empowerment of that one same Spirit, we might give testimony, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see, the Father sent the Son. It was the will of the Father to send him to be the propitiation for the sin of sinners. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one at God, even as we are one. Hallelujah. That we might be one with the Father, one with the Son, and one with one another by that one same Spirit of truth and holiness, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one Echad, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and that thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Can you think about this? Can you receive this? That you may know that God the Father sent the Son, and that God the Father has so loved us as to send the Son. He loves us as He loves the Son. We are adopted sons of the living God. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am. He is the I am. And we can transcend all time and space in an instant by that one same Spirit, to go in the spirit realm, transcending time and space beyond the furthest reaches of the outer space, to that highest throne where He sits at the Father's right hand, the very I am. We can go there if there's no unforgiveness in us. Father, I will that they also whom Thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which Thou hast given me, for Thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. You see, God has to have essential diversity. He is love. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit existed before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world hath not known Thee, but I have known Thee. And these have known that Thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them Thy name, Father, if you have any name to call God. No name to speak to God compares with that privilege that we have been given by the Son and His sacrifice. And I have declared unto them Thy name, Father, and will declare it, that the love wherewith Thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them, Echad, one with God, by that one same Spirit of Messiah, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit makes us Echad with the Father, one with the Father, one with the Son, and one with one another by that one same Spirit. I hope you can receive this. And I hope you can, by the Spirit of the living God, share this with Jews in particular, the Jew first, but also the Greek. Everybody needs to know this. As many as might have hope to be saved, for there is no way of salvation apart from this. Without the Spirit of God, we are not God's children. You see, that's what makes us God's children, this one same Spirit that makes us Echad, Israel, born again, part of the family of God, called Israel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus. This is the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Podcasting Network. This is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you the website for the Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is DCCSA. That's David Charlie Charlie Sam Alpha. .com/ Great Joy, all one word, all small letters, GREATJOY. At the website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and grow from faith to faith as we press into this mystery of the ages in this Antichrist war on the saints, reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh.